This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
So close, yet so. Actually, no, I'm not going to say so far away. Today, prior to this game, if you would have told me that the Browns would have a chance on their final drive in the fourth quarter, I would have been ecstatic. But the way that this game ended, I'm a bit disappointed. That said, Josh and Joe, we're back with another WFNY podcast. Browns Instant Insights. Cleveland just lost. Tough one to Kansas City, 22-17 to end their season.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
But what a season it was. The only thing I'm disappointed about, I think, is that the Browns just lost to Chad freaking Henne. Joe, first thoughts, go.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling now too. It was a rough one to lose to Chad freaking Henne. That's probably the biggest thing I'm just gonna feel bad about. But I can't feel bad about this season. We talk about coming in. This is house money. It still is. It's amazing how far we got. But yeah, it's just I can't believe we lost to Chad Henne. That's if it was anybody else, man. But yeah, we'll talk about some of the decisions today. But it was a rough way to end it. But what a heck of a season this team put together, and they yeah. Showed the fight today.
If you would have told me that the Browns would go 12-6, losing the AFC divisional round in a close game to the Chiefs prior to the season, I would have said sign me up 100 times out of 100. And that said, we are also live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and we're presented by Evergreen Podcast. I cannot forget that part, even though I did. But yeah, it's tough. Looking back, there's a lot of like, hey, the Browns should have done this, or hey, Kevin Stefanski should have done this or that. But I feel like in the moment, it's hard to, like, I guess the first thing is that Kevin Stefanski challenged that one catch that was clearly a catch, but that's for us as a fan. He was not able to see the replay.
Coming up on 5 Minute News. I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
And he didn't challenge the one that he should have the first time, which I feel like is the reason why he challenged the second one, because he knew he screwed up the first time. But I mean, hindsight is 2020. I guess this year it's hindsight's 2021, but it's hard to.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo. And for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
See that as a fan and being able to see a replay compared to a head coach who isn't able to see any of that stuff and has like 10 seconds to either throw the red flag or let the play go.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. I didn't really, it was obviously a bad challenge overall, obviously we saw what happened. But yeah, if you really think about it, I thought at first it was a bad challenge, but when you really think about it, just all the how quick you have to make that decision, what's going through your head with the missed one earlier, you can't blame him. And just in terms of decision making, it wasn't his greatest game. Stefanski did, but that those decisions, those ones aren't the ones that are going to kill me. It's that last drive that just I'm not sure what they were doing. The play calling was a bit off, some of those run plays and stuff, and then just punting it. I wonder, this is the question I want to pose to you. I just wonder if Patrick Mahomes was on the other sideline about to go in, would they have punted? I don't think they would.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think they thought they could get Chad Henne, and this defense couldn't.
Yeah, the only thing on that last drive, the Browns called timeout and then had following the timeout, they had three very interesting play calls, which caused it to be 4th and 9. And we all know, we won't talk about last year, but Freddie Kitchens probably would have ran a draw play on 4th and 9 and went for it. But in this year's time, I think even though the defense has struggled, I think Kevin Stefanski was going to lean on them to be able to stop Chad Henne. And if it wasn't for a 13-yard freaking scramble, they did just that. Whoever saw Chad, I can't even say Chad Henne. I had to say Chad freaking Henne.
Chad freaking Henne. Yeah.
Whoever saw Chad Henne rushing for 13 and a half yards on 3rd and 14 to even give the Chiefs a chance on 4th down to put away the game. I sure didn't. I mean, I don't know. It's this is another one. Hindsight's 2020, but I feel like he thought that the Browns defense could do enough to stop Chad Henne and therefore give the Browns better field position.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. I think if Mahomes was ready to get back on the sideline, that would have been definitely a 4th down they went for. I think it still should have been a 4th down they went for. You know who this defense was. Quite frankly, they showed
or it wasn't.
That. Yeah, right. They just weren't good enough all game, all year, for the most part. I expected that they should have gone for it. You want to trust your best players to make the plays, and the best players are on offense, and Baker Mayfield. I rather put the ball in his hands to make the play to get that first down rather than the defense relying on them to make a stop, which they ultimately couldn't do. And hindsight's 2020, but I just thought that was probably the worst decision of the game. He made some other questionable ones, but yeah, it wasn't the best game for Kevin Stefanski in his first season. Probably his worst game of the year, which is saying something.
Okay, wait. We're talking about the Baltimore Ravens Week 1 debacle. That wasn't recency bias. That wasn't his worst game, but it was one of his worst.
Decision. How about this? In terms of decision making, I thought it was probably his worst decision-making game. Obviously, yeah, there's worse games, but hey, it's the first-year head coach. He'll learn from this. He'll see on the other side Andy Reid being the best coach in the league. Hopefully he takes a lot from this game and improves. It's just like a player. You're gonna take stuff from this game. The coaches are going to take stuff from this game, and hopefully Kevin does this. Because he had a hell of a year. This game should not overshadow that. He was the coach of the year for a reason, and the Browns had their head coach for many, many years to come. I truly believe it. He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, and I know after the game he said if it was 4th and if it was shorter than 4th and 9, there would have been no doubt that he went for it. I just think he was – I forget where they were – even on the field, maybe like the 35-40. But he was – the only reason he was skeptical and the only reason he punted it was because it was 4th and 9 and it wasn't shorter than that, which, I mean, I get it. And in the moment, you have to say, my defense has struggled all season, but they're going against Chad Henne. And, I mean, they were so close. Like I said, they were so close yet so far away.
Right.
And that 3rd and 14, if we would have – One, I would have thought that they were going to run it, not Chad Henne running it, but I would have thought that they were going to run it with their running back. And two, I don't know, it just, that play summarizes the Browns defense all season.
It did. It was a perfect summers. It's just a perfect ending to that. Well, not a perfect, but an imperfect ending to that defense's performance this season. Giving up big plays to these just random players that should not have been making plays. It summed it up pretty well. It was a pretty telling end of the season. And it shows what the Browns have to do going into this offseason. Defense, 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 and more defense. Like, their offense is great, man. We'll talk about Baker later, but the offense is on point, ready to go next season. The defense, it's going to be lots of changes this offseason.
When was the last time we could say that the offense is good going into next season, but this offseason has to be completely about the defense?
Right. Usually it's the whole roster needs a shake up. Right. And the whole front office, the whole coaching staff. Like, this is a totally different situation they're in. It's a great spot that we're in because the front office can pinpoint where they need to attack, and the defensive side of the ball is where they need to attack this offseason. And they have a lot of assets to do it. It's going to be a fun offseason, guys. I really believe it's going to be a fun offseason. We're going to get some really, I think, some top-notch free agents. Just excited about this future here. So it's going to be a fun one. But obviously it's a tough one to lose today, but it's a great future, bright future ahead.
This might be the first offseason in nearly two decades that the Browns can actually get some really good free agents and not have to overpay.
Right.
Yeah. You just like, oh, you want the 15th best linebacker on the free agent market, or you better pay him top dollar if you want him.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be like Baker's going to be a place, a Baker and Kevin Stefanski, the culture here is going to be a place that players want to come to. I think it showed just how the players loved being here, the ones that are here. I think that's another thing that comes off of this season, just the improvement of the vision across the league of this franchise. It's a fun thing to be a part of right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is the first offseason that I've actually been like really looking forward to it. Not because the Browns have a top five pick, just because they're so close and they just need like a few more pieces. And remember, even the defensively, they're going to get, well, hopefully they'll get Greedy Williams back. They're going to get Grant Delpit back. They're going to get a healthy Myles Garrett back. Because it was clear. I mean, even today, it was clear that he still wasn't 100% no matter what it was. Yeah. But yeah, this offseason is going to be fun. But back to the game. 10 minutes and 45 seconds into the podcast is too long to not talk about this yet. The Rashard Higgins touchback that was.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we can
the worst rule in America.
No, okay, so it's the worst rule in sports, probably.
Yes, yeah.
But even with that, I'll read you the rule for targeting in the NFL. The rule, ratified by owners in May, makes it a 15-yard penalty for a player to lower his head and use his helmet to deliver a hit on an opponent. A player is subject to a possible ejection, reviewable by replay, weird, and to a potential fine or suspension by the league for an egregious violation. All right, so if you were to see the videos or still frame or anything, the Kansas City guy didn't even use his arms. He was literally all head, and the head was complete. His eyes were facing the ground, and he made helmet-to-helmet contact with Higgins, which therefore caused a fumble.
Right.
I mean, you could say that the touchback rule is stupid, but it should have come down to that because it should have been a 15-yard penalty. And in a five-point loss, that's a seven-point touchdown. Okay. We have Cody Parkey as a kicker. That's a 6-point touchdown and possibly seven.
Right. Yeah.
That's literally a game-changing call.
Yeah.
Or no, my bad. A game-changing non-call.
Right. Yeah. I agree. It wasn't even the rule is the rule. It is what it is. It's a dumb rule. I don't understand it. How a fumble on the 1/2-inch line. Well, you get it there, but then if it goes in the end zone, it goes to the other team and you lose the possession. It doesn't make any sense, but the rule is the rule, and it's been that way for a long time now. but just the head-to-head, yeah, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe, like, he didn't even try to wrap up. Like, sometimes you'll see both the head and the arms come with it. He didn't even, Sorensen didn't.
It's almost like he was, like, nose-diving into, a pool of water where he, like, had his arms behind his back and was, like, just head-first only.
Right. I don't want to hear an excuse.
Like, yeah, there's literally no excuse. Even if the refs miss that, how is that not reviewable? How is the fumble on that play reviewable, but a targeting call, which the NFL is supposed to be all about safety, correct? So how is targeting not reviewable?
And last time I checked, isn't it reviewable in college football? Like,
it's reviewable if they call it targeting on the field.
Yeah.
They didn't call it targeting on the field, which is the problem. True. But I feel like even then, it should still be like, hey, there was a possible helmet-to-helmet hit, which obviously we're trying to stop because concussions are an issue in football and especially in the NFL. Maybe we should look at that, and maybe we should discipline the guy that literally went helmet-to-helmet, which is – I mean, I don't want to bring up – like, that's how Ryan – that when Ryan Shazier was paralyzed, which he's obviously fighting back from it, that's the exact hit that happened. He went – eyes to the ground and crown of his helmet straight into the other helmet. So I just found that so weird that is not reviewable. I mean, if the refs missed on the field, they missed on the field. But the fact that it's not reviewable is like inexcusable.
Right. Yeah. And it was a game changing play. The Browns might have been on the other side if that play was actually called for what it was. It's just a disappointing situation. You got to live with it. It's gonna be a rough one to think about for a year, for quite a while right now. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. It's gonna be the talk of the NFL for next week probably. But it was not good. I still can't believe nothing was called there.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, yeah, I don't want to focus on that negativity too much, but it was just amazing to me that. Literally nothing was called there besides the fact that they reviewed the fumble. But while reviewing the fumble, I'm sure they saw that helmet-to-helmet contact, but nothing they could do about it.
Yeah.
That's just crazy to me. All right, so we'll go with the Browns offense. Baker Mayfield, looking at the box score, 23 for 37, 204, one touchdown, one interception. You'll be like, that was an okay game. He played one heck of a game.
Stud.
He looked good.
He kept them in it. If Baker was not the quarterback on this team, they would have been blown out of this game. He kept them in it. He showed the franchise that he is their quarterback. It was awesome to watch him. He was throwing pinpoint accuracy all day. Some of the throws in the second half were just unbelievable.
One Austin Hooper. I mean, it was one heck of a catch, but man, what a throw.
Like, I know we talk about there, we hear all the time throwing guys open. That was throwing guys open. Like, he was not open. There was no one to throw to there. He threw it open. He threw Hooper open. Hooper made an awesome catch, obviously, but that throw was unbelievable. And just that whole second half, the whole game, he was just on target. You could tell he was ready for this moment, and he stepped up. He didn't get a lot of help, quite frankly. He did not get a lot of help. Some of the receivers let him down. Jarvis didn't have his best game.
Jarvis Landry, I'm looking at now, 7 catches, only 20 yards. Oh, yeah. That's ugly. How the heck do you do that? How do you not even average 3 yards of reception? Holy cow.
Right. Yeah, it shows that we need a – The talk can be over now, guys. We can stop talking. We need Odell Beckham back. This offense needs Beckham.
Thought OBJ made him worse, though, Joe. Come on.
Oh, I know, right?
Man, that's another addition. Without even having to do – even if the Browns don't do anything this offseason, they get their second-best cornerback, number one safety, and one of their top receivers back, even if they literally don't do anything else.
Right. Yeah. And it's amazing the position they're in. It's amazing they got there with what they were missing. Like, you just read it off, like all those guys that they were missing. That's why after the game, if we were I was going to – if they were going to win this game, and if I heard any talk of Patrick Mahomes missing, I would have just – like, just all the stuff the Browns have gone through, and then you're going to –
Oh, you know the main headline would have been Browns win, beat
right.
Patrick Mahomes, less Chiefs. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially the Skip Baylesses, Colin Cowards of the world. Yeah, the Browns have to deal with so much. I mean, even today, they were without Myles Garrett. They're without Jedrick Wills.
They lost their two top tackles.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, losing the best quarterback in the league over is more than, like, hurts more than any of those. But when you combine the losses, the Browns had to deal with so much, and they still went 12-6. No, 12-6 this year. Yeah, 12-6.
Yeah. It's amazing that shows the culture. We talked about it in the preview and the weeks before this. Just the next man up. They fought today. I thought it was over, quite frankly. A lot of people did after that pick early in the second half. If you asked people that moment, who would have thought that it was come down to the last second? I don't think many people would.
Baker. I thought you were talking about Chad Henne's pick that was 30 yards deep. I was saying at that moment, I thought the Browns had it.
Right. Yeah. No. Right in the beginning of the second half, where it was a pick by Tyrann Mathieu, it looked bad. But this team showed again and again and again that they were fighting for everything they did this year, and that comes down to culture, and comes down head coaching and leadership, and that's Baker and that's Kevin Stefanski, and you got to give it up to those guys. They fought hard, man. They were right there. And what are we asking for? Just come down to the last minute, be in this game, and we did. And they fought tooth and nail against the best team in the league, and we're right there to win.
Yeah, as the saying is, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. I'm certainly not mad that they lost, because like I said yesterday, I said if the Browns are in it, if it's a one possession game in the fourth quarter and the Browns have a chance to win, I'm satisfied. I'm just disappointed in the way that it ended, because they let Chad Henne run for almost 14 yards. That's it. That's all.
Right. There's some decisions and that was the only thing that's going to make me mad is Chad Henne beat you at the end.
Congrats to Chad Henne for finally beating the team from Ohio, though. So kudos to him. tip the cap. That former Michigan Wolverine finally beat the team from Ohio.
That was the biggest moment of Michigan's last decade here.
Man, I hope they use that in like a recruiting pitch. Chad Henne finally beat the team in Ohio in the playoffs.
Come here to college.
I love hating on Michigan, even though we're talking about the Browns and Chiefs. It's awesome.
Oh, I know. Yes.
But yeah. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I would have thought that they would have a lot more than 101 yards on the ground. Especially, I mean, obviously the game, the score, the way Kansas City went up two possessions early, that changed things. But Kansas City's biggest weaknesses was their run defense. And until like the third quarter, they didn't really do much on the ground, the Browns.
Yeah. I have to say that was probably the first half was probably one of Nick Chubb's worst halves I've ever seen him play. he had what, three drops or two drops? Two of them were back to back, and then it was not much of anything on the ground. So in the second half, he looked pissed off. Quite frankly, he looked like he was running mad. And then in that second quarter or second half, he ran really well. They needed him to step up, and he did. And then Hunt wasn't really effective except for that one drive where he scored the touchdown. But
he's gonna be on memes all in Kansas City now. Why would you even do that celebration when you're losing? The one where you're sleeping on the football and using it as a pillow? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. It was an okay game for them. It was just not. We talked about it yesterday. We needed them to have an elite game, and they didn't have it. They were good, but not great. They needed great, especially early on. They got down early and just couldn't get back out of it.
Yeah, and checking out the Facebook comments, Herbert Taylor said, "Please don't bring Odell Beckham back." Sorry, Herbert, but it's most likely going to happen. He's the clear. Imagine this wide receiver group with Jarvis, OBJ, DPJ. I mean, oh, and then I'm totally forgetting Rashard Higgins. You have four very, and then that's not even counting Hodge. You have four very solid wide receivers, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we'll talk about the offseason and the draft at a later time. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns take a wide receiver because this wide receiver group is loaded in the draft. If they take one of those guys too, just to have like a rookie on a shorter or not a shorter, a smaller contract, because Jarvis and OBJ, those contracts are a lot. I'm sure they're not going to both stay around for all of it, but that conversation is for another day. But yeah, if you add OBJ to this group, especially with Baker playing the way he did, that is one heck of a passing group.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to hear me say we trade OBJ. I'm always going to be in his corner. You don't trade away guys like that with that talent. It just so happened that the turnaround came when he left. It just so happened. It was just the offense starting to click. It had nothing to do with him. I promise you that. It has nothing to do with OBJ not being here. The offense just started to click because Baker was getting more confident. The offense was gelling. That's all it is. I truly believe that. And we'll see it next year when they can implement him in the offense with a great Baker Mayfield. It's going to be fun. But yeah, that's for later times.
And the wide receivers are not only loaded, but the tight ends, as they proved today. Austin Hooper, obviously we know how much money he got. He was... And besides that one huge catch, obviously that's probably the biggest catch of the game. Two catches, 16 yards. Who had one heck of a game?
Shout out to David.
Requested a trade. If you would have told me after he requested a trade in the offseason that he would be the Browns' top receiver in the AFC divisional round playoff game, I would have said that you were one complete liar.
Shout out to David Njoku. He was probably the best pass catcher in the game. Like, he was the most consistent. He was the most reliable for Baker. He made some huge catches. He had a hell of a game. Just a great game to step up. He's always been a good blocker this season, but he added the pass catching today, and he just stepped up huge. He shut up everybody. Everyone who talked about him, like his drops and stuff. He stepped up and was one of the biggest guys to – he was one of the guys that keep him in it, quite frankly, early on.
He was the guy that kept him in it early on, honestly.
Checking
out Facebook, Brandon Natalia told us to give a shout-out to Njoku for the way – I mean, he deserves all the credit today because if it wasn't for David Njoku, the game probably wouldn't have been close.
No, yeah, he made that big – I think it was like 20 yards or something like that. He made that big catch to extend the drive. He made so many big catches, got a lot of first downs. It was awesome to see him. Hopefully he sticks around next year. They can utilize that even more because I feel like that's a area of his game that they did not use him very well. I think he can be a playmaker in the offense, and I truly believe it. Hopefully they can see off of this game that he can be that next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to say for a Browns team, but you can all say that they have too many weapons. They have two running backs, four legitimate wide receivers if OBJ is healthy, and that's not even counting Hodge, who was clearly like a good role guy, but he's depth. Three legitimate tight ends. I mean, you can't really have too many skill players, especially in the league where there's so many injuries. Ooh. But they have a lot. And the Browns, that's what I'm excited to see with a full offseason, with a full training camp. Hopefully a regular preseason. Hopefully this COVID stuff is, well, I'm sure it won't be over, but I'm sure we'll be a lot better off than this past offseason. Because you have to remember, like we talked about Saturday or yesterday, the Browns didn't have a preseason, and they still went 12-6 this
year. Right. That's the truly amazing part of the season. So many things went against them. Just the last 3 weeks, the 4 weeks, how many things have gone against them. But they kept fighting. through all this adversity, and that shows the culture. And it's awesome to see that a Browns franchise have culture that they can rely on to win games. Like, that culture wins games for you. It does. Like, when you aren't afraid to step up in someone's absence, when you aren't afraid to go down early, when you know that you have confidence in your fellow teammates, it's huge. And it showed this year how much important it is.
And I know, as we alluded to yesterday during our preview podcast, Scott wrote a good piece on the Browns culture. But culture not only helps you win games, but it also helps you bring players in to help you win games. No one wanted to come to the Browns in their own 16 and when they had no culture. But now, I mean, I'm sure not every player wants to come to the Browns, but who wouldn't want to come join this team? Who wouldn't want to come join Baker Mayfield? Who wouldn't want to come join Kevin Stefanski and what he's doing here? I mean, seriously, when was the last time we could ever say that? Who wouldn't want to come join this team?
Seriously. Right. Yeah. It's going to be a destination that players are going to be looking forward to going to. It's just an amazing turnaround in one season that this franchise has done. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, from 0-16 3 years ago to one drive, from one Chad Henne 13-yard rush away from the AFC title game. Because I truly believe that if the Browns stop in there, Baker Mayfield submits that he wants a lifetime contract in Cleveland, and he wins the game for the Browns. At least that's my imagination.
The way he was playing, I wouldn't doubt him. I simply would not have doubted him. He was playing a hell of a game. He was matching Patrick Holmes step by step, and when he was in there, it was an awesome matchup of two of the young best stars in the league. And it's fun that the Browns have one of those stars.
That's just so weird. The Browns have one of the stars in the league,
right?
And I feel like this is another off-season podcast that we can do, but the number of players that deserve extensions in Cleveland, even without thinking about it: Baker Mayfield, Rashard Higgins, Myles Garrett already got his, Denzel Ward, Wyatt Teller.
Yeah, right.
That's literally five, and that's without even like really thinking about it.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see soon. It'll come up like, how much money should the Browns give these guys? When was the last time we can discuss how much money we should give to a quarterback, to a running back, to a right, to a guard, to a cornerback? I mean, to have these problems, I mean, you could say, oh, but salary cap, blah, blah, blah. Just to have these problems shows that you're a legitimate NFL franchise again.
Right. This is winning team problems. The Browns have not had problems with their cap in years.
Well, yeah, because that's what happens when you give up on a guy 3 years into his contract.
Right. They never had to spend big money quarterback money.
In all seriousness, when was the last time the Browns re-signed their quarterback that they drafted? I would love to look that up.
I
don't think it's been since 99.
I couldn't answer it. I literally could not answer you.
I'd love to see that. What shows, so like, you can say Baker deserves this amount of money, Baker doesn't deserve this amount of money. The fact that we're even having that conversation shows you where we're at as a franchise.
Right. Yeah. It's an amazing step that they did in one season. Literally one season. This organization turned it around in one season. We talked about it how many times over the past decade or so. We see these teams turning around in a year or turning around in 2 years. This team was one of them this year. Now it's finally, we finally saw the Cleveland Browns turn it around in 1 year. And that was because of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. It's amazing that what culture, what leadership does to an organization.
And let's be honest, looking at what's going on in Houston with the Texans, that used to be the Browns.
Right.
But seeing that from in case you don't know, Deshaun Watson is basically going to demand a trade this offseason. I think that's pretty evident. That always used to be the Browns.
Right.
They used to be like the Browns. Like, in the wise words or the dumb words of Juju Smith-Schuster, that was the Browns was the Browns. The Browns isn't the Browns anymore. They're a legitimate franchise that is going to hopefully do what's right going forward and not screw over a star quarterback like Houston is doing with Deshaun Watson and right. trade away his number one wide receiver. But that's beside the point.
And one more shout out. This guy took so much heat over the past decade or so he's been here. Jimmy Haslam deserved credit. He deserves credit. He finally figured out that alignment culture matters, and he didn't get that. He got, oh, let's get in these big name front office guys, these hot coaches like Freddie Kitchens and stuff like that. He showed that he learned, and it's important to learn. He learned that alignment matters, culture matters, and that's why getting Kevin Stefanski, then getting Andrew Berry, that so perfectly together was just so huge. So shout out to Jimmy Haslam. He had a rough start to his tenure here, a rough start, but he showed this year that he seemed to have figured it out, because we haven't heard about him. He seems to have gone. He's gone back to the shadows.
If there's three positions where if you don't hear about him in the NFL, that means they're doing a very good job. Offensive line. Okay, my bad. Only two positions. Offensive line is a group and the owner. When was the last time we ever said? I mean, unless it was like Wyatt Teller dominating. Right. When was the last time we ever brought up the offensive line?
Right. Yeah.
And that said, when was the last time we ever brought up Jimmy Haslam? It's been all season. If you're not talking about the owner, that's very good news.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it was. He showed that he was going to step away and let them do it, and that's how good owners do it. You never hear. When have you ever heard from Pittsburgh's owner or Baltimore's owner? You never do. They never talk. They let their guys.
Why do you have to bring up Baltimore Ravens owner into this show?
That's true. Well, the new owner now.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm just clarifying you. Browns fans might be pretty happy today until you just brought up the Baltimore Ravens owner.
the current owner. I'll clarify for the current owner. But yeah, it's a great position that they're in. It shows that people are learning and fixing their problems that they've been doing for so many years here. It's amazing. It's amazing this development that's in this franchise.
Yeah, it's almost like people have a set position and they're sticking to it. It's not like anyone is stepping on anyone else's toes. And like I've said numerous times already this podcast, when was the last time we could say that? Usually it's like, oh, the GM wants to pick this guy in the draft or wants to sign this guy, but the head coach doesn't want him, and then it happens or doesn't happen, so then one of them's angry, and then there's a rift, and then that slowly takes down the team. It's just so nice to see it all align. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a fun time to be in Cleveland. This offseason is going to be fun, guys. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, as you can see, the Browns just lost to the Chiefs 22-17, and Joe and I are both happy, and we didn't really even talk about the game. And Joe's dogs are even happy.
My dogs are crazy, too.
But seriously, guys, we'll be on here. Obviously, this is the last post-game podcast until next fall. But with how exciting this offseason is going to be, we'll be on here
plenty
a handful of times. Yeah, plenty. Especially ahead of, man, this is the first time we can actually talk about the NFL draft.
Number 26. We're number 26.
Oh, do we have the 26th pick?
We have a 26th pick.
When was the last time the Browns had the 25th pick or later is the real question.
That's true. I know. Yeah, it's going to be a fun offseason. I can't wait. It was a tough way to end, but what a season.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like I said, the only thing I can complain about is that the Browns just let Chad Henne beat them. But besides that, it's tough to complain about anything that the Browns did this season.
Yep. Amen.
So, amen. Yeah, go Browns. It's going to be one heck of an offseason. And this might be cliche, but we are waiting for next year.
Right. Hey, so go Bills Mafia.
Oh, yeah. Go Bill. I'm all about the Bills now.
Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia. I might, you know what? We might get on a podcast next Sunday just to jump through a table on live podcast.
for the next, what, 3 weeks, we are Bills Mafia.
Yeah, that's absolutely. But yeah, go. Always go Browns, but this time go Bills. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
See ya.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dean Archipotis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.